الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
بسم الله الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد رضي الله عن المؤمنين إذ يبايعونك تحت الشجرة فعلم ما في قلوبهم فأنزل السكينة عليهم وأثابهم فتحا قريبا ومغانم كثيرة يأخذونها وكان الله عزيزا حكيما. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: لا يدخل النار أحد ممن بايع تحت الشجرة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, it is an accepted fact without fear of contradiction that in every academic class there are some dropouts. In every family, like it or not, accept it or deny it, there are some fallouts. Regardless of how brilliant the parent is, how competent the teacher is, or how impressive the methodology is, society chooses to refer to these individuals as the delinquents or the rebels of the community. The group of Sahaba is the only group in the history of humanity in which there is no dropout Sahabi. There is no dropout Sahabi. Everyone stands out as a beacon of light. Just as Allah chose the best era for His Nabi, and the noblest book for His Nabi, and the best land for His Nabi, so did Allah select the best humans for the companionship of His Nabi. فَاخْتَارَ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَصْحَابًا. Allah made a divine selection in the favor of Sahaba. Bishr ibn Harith rahmatullah alayhi used to say, أَوْثَقُ عَمَلِي فِي نَفْسِي حُبُّ أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The action in which I have the greatest hope for salvation is my love for the Sahaba. The action in which I have the greatest hope that Allah will forgive and pardon me is my inherent love, attachment and bond to the Sahaba. And I ask Allah at this juncture, as I have traveled from South Africa and you have come from different parts of the United Kingdom, notwithstanding the cold, on the association of the love, may Allah instill within our hearts the true love of Sahaba. The Arabic poet said, إِنِّي أُحِبُّ أَبَا حَبْسٍ وَشِيعَتِهِ كما أحب عتيقا صاحب الغار وقد رضيت عليا قدوة وما رضيت بقتل الشيخ في الدار كل الصحابة ساداتي فهل علي بهذا القول من عاري. He said, verily I love Umar and I love the family of Umar, just as I am fond of Abu Bakr, the companion of the cave. وقد رضيت عليا قدوة. And I'm more than happy in accepting Ali as my mentor and my guide. وَمَا رَضِيتُ بِقَتْلِ الشَّيْخِ فِي الدَّارِ. And I will never condone the brutal murder and the killing and the assassination of Uthman radiallahu anhu. كُلُّ السَّحَابَةِ سَادَاتِ. All the Sahaba without exception are my leaders, are my inspiration, are my guiding stars. فَهَلْ عَلَيَّ بِهَذَا الْقَوْلِ مِنْ عَارِي. Is there any individual who frowns or objects on these sentiments of ours? Iman compels us that we not only attach ourselves to the galaxy of Sahaba, but nay, we become beloved or we love those whom Sahaba equally loved. Iman compels us, we take it a step further. The narration of Ibn Sa'd, Abu Wa'il radiallahu anhu says, قدم إلينا عبد الله بن مسعود. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud came to us. فَنَعَى إِلَيْنَا عُمَرُ. He conveyed to us the sad news of the tragic death of Umar radiallahu anhu. فَلَمْ أَرَى يَوْمًا كَانَ أَكْثَرُ بَاكِيًا وَلَا حَزِينًا مِنْهُ. He said, I've never seen a more sad day in my life than the day that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu passed away. Furthermore, he said, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ عُمَرْ يُحِبُّ كَلْبًا لَأَحْبَبْتُهُ.
If I have to know that Umar loved an animal, I would become fond of that dog. If I knew Umar loved an animal, I would become fond of that dog. وَإِنِّي لَأَحْسِبُ الْعِضَاهَ قَدْ وَجَدَ فَقْدَ عُمَرَ. And for all I care, it's not only the humans lamenting the demise of Umar. I believe all the trees in Medina have joined us and they equally cry. I believe all the trees in Medina have joined us and they are equally crying. Someone asked Abu Rabi'a ibn Abi Abdul Rahman, in atli Abu Bakr wa Umar. Describe Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu anhuma to us. He said, لا أدري كيف أنعتهما. I don't know where to commence. أما هما فقد سبقا من كان معهما وأتعبا من كان بعدهما. In two words I say and I summarize it. They surpassed all those who lived in their era and they tired all those who came thereafter. They surpassed all those who lived in that era. Ibn Asakir makes mention of the narration. Abu Raja al-Utaridi said, أتيت المدينة. I came to Medina. فإذا الناس مجتمعون. People had converged and congregated. وإذا في وسطهم رجل يقبل رأس رجل. And in the dead center of this gathering was an individual and he was kissing the person next to him. I nudged the man next to me and I said, من المقبل ومن المقبل. Who's the man kissing and who's the man being kissed? He said, ذاك عمر بن الخطاب يقبل رأس أبي بكر. That is Umar. And the man he's kissing is Abu Bakr. He's paying tribute to Abu Bakr. And he said, أنا فداك لولا أنت هلكنا. Abu Bakr, I salute you. I compliment you. I pay tribute to you. If it was not for you, the steadfastness with which you had suppressed the uprising and the elements post the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I don't know what would have happened in Medina. The narration of Bazzar. Muhammad ibn Uqayl narrates it. On the strength of Ali radiallahu anhu. One day Ali radiallahu anhu addressed a group of people. And he said, tell me, man ashja'u nas, who is the bravest of all? So people said, Anta ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Oh Ali, that honor and that privilege goes to you. You stand up to be the most brave amongst us. Now Sahaba were not a group of people that would latch onto undue credit. While Sayyidina Ali stands up to be one of the most brave of people without doubt. But he said, no, I appreciate the sentiments and I respect what you said. But that accolade cannot be conferred upon me. This honor and this privilege goes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. جَعَلْنَا لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَرِيشًا. We had erected a tent for the Master صلى الله عليه وسلم in a campaign. And we said, who will patrol this area? Who will patrol? فَمَا دَنَا مِنَّا أَحَدْ إِلَّا أَبُو بَكْرٍ شَهِرًا بِالسَّيْفِ. It was Abu Bakr with a naked sword that patrolled around the Master صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then Ali radiallahu anhu went to say, وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأخذته قريش. One day I seen the Master صلى الله عليه وسلم when the Quraysh had surrounded him, apprehended him, intercepted him. None amongst us could muster the courage to come forward other than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. يَضْرِبُ هَذَا وَيُجَاهِدُ هَذَا وَيُتَلْتِلُ هَذَا. He moved one, he pushed another, he dropped a third. And then he advanced and he said, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَن يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. Do you choose to kill an individual? Do you choose to oppose an individual simply because he proclaims the oneness of Allah? ثُمَّ رَفَعَ عَلِيٌّ بُرْدَةً كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِ. Ali radiallahu anhu then lifted his shawl that was on him. فَبَكَى حَتَّى اخْضَلَّتْ لِحْيَتُهُ. And then he started crying and he started sobbing. And then he addressed the congregation and he said, أُنْشِدُكُمْ بِاللَّهِ. In the name of Allah, I swear to you and I ask you, أَمُؤْمِنُ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ خَيْرٌ أَمْ أَبُو بَكْرٍ. The person who accepted faith from the family of Pharaoh. The Quran makes categoric reference in the 24th juz in Surah Mu'min. Some narrations suggest his name was Shama'an. Other narrations suggest his name was Hizqir. This is mentioned in Thalabi on the strength of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. I ask you, was he a better individual or Abu Bakr? فَسَكَتَ الْقَوْمِ. There was pin drop silence. And then Ali radiallahu anhu said, لَسَّاعَةٌ مِّنْ أَبِي بَكْرٍ خَيْرٌ لَسَّاعَةٌ مِّنْ أَبِي بَكْرٍ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ مِلْءِ الْأَرْضِ مِنْ مُؤْمِنِ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ. A moment, Bazar's narration, a moment, a second in the life of Abu Bakr is greater than filling the entire world with believers like that from the family of Pharaoh. هذا رجل يكتم إيمانه وأبو بكر أعلن إيمانه. This was a person who camouflaged, who disguised, who concealed his faith. And perhaps logistically, politically, whatever he did. But Abu Bakr was a man who came public with his iman. Abu Bakr was a man who prided himself with his iman. Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, paying tribute to Abu Bakr. Paying tribute to Abu Bakr, he looks at Bilal radiallahu anhu walking. He said, Jazallahu khayran an Bilalin wa sahbihi atiqa. Jazallahu khayran an Bilalin wa sahbihi atiqan. Wa akhza faqihan wa aba jahli. عشية هم في بلال بسوءتي ولم يحذر ما يحذر المرء ذو العقل بتوحيده رب الأنام وقوله شهدت بأن الله ربي على مهلي فإن يقتلوني يقتلوني فلم أكن لأشرك بالرحمن من خيفة القتل فيا رب إبراهيم والعبد يونس وموسى وعيسى نجني ثم لا تبلي. I wish you could comprehend this in the original text. He said, جزا الله خيرا عن بلال وصحبي. May Allah give a handsome reward to Abu Bakr on behalf of Bilal and his companions. جزا الله خيرا عن بلال وصحبه عتيقا. And this is another point. And I believe whenever I speak, I urge my audience, as I walk you through the lives of Sahaba, draw comparisons, make the revolution, make the intention, make the rectification, and we have to make and internalize these beautiful traits into our lives. What was the salient feature of Sahaba? They complemented one another. They did not contradict, so they pooled their resources. So it was a common body with a common agenda, with a common objective. It was not me against you. We were not competing. We had the faith of Allah to prosper, the deen of Allah to prosper. So when the Muhajirin migrated to Medina and the Ansar poured out everything they possibly owned, their hospitality was unprecedented, unparalleled. For a moment, the Muhajirin said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَقَدْ خَشِينَا أَن يَذْهَبُوا بِالْأَجْرِ كُلِّهِ. O Nabi of Allah, just a reflection, just an introspection. I'm just wondering, in relation to the hospitality our brothers have offered us, I wonder if there's any reward left for us. I wonder, will we have anything? And the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the most amazing prophetic formula, by virtue of which you can have yourself included in the good activities of the Muslims across the globe. He said, do two things and you will be included in their goods. مَا دَعَوْتُمُ اللَّهَ لَهُمْ وَأَثْنَيْتُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْرٍ. Include them in your prayers and verbally acknowledge them, and Allah will equally reward you. Subhanallah. But I'm afraid we want to contradict, because I have a personal agenda. So Ammar ibn Yasir was not shy to pay tribute to Abu Bakr. جَزَاللَّهُ خَيْرًا عَنْ بِلَالٍ وَصَحْبِهِ. May Allah reward on behalf of Bilal and his companions, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. وَأَخْزَى طَاكِهًا وَأَبَى جَهْلِي. And may Allah humiliate and disgrace Taqih ibn Mughira, عَمُّ أَبِي جَهْلٍ, who was the uncle of Abu Jahl and Abu Jahl himself. عَشِيَّةً هَمَّ فِي بِلَالٍ بِسَوْءَتِي. On a particular evening, these two wicked, nasty, wretched people made wicked advancements towards Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu. وَلَمْ يَحْذَرَ مَا يَحْذَرُ الْمَرْءُ ذُو الْعَقْلِ. And they did not afford him the common dignity that any ordinary citizen would enjoy. What was the crime of Bilal? بِتَوْحِيدِهِ رَبَّ الْأَنَامِ. Simply because he proclaimed Tawheed, the doctrine of one Allah. وَقَوْلِهِ شَهِدْتُ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ رَبِّي عَلَى مَهْلِي. And Bilal openly publicized his iman radiyallahu anhu. And then he concludes the couplets with the sentiments of Bilal. فَإِن يَقْتُلُونِي يَقْتُلُونِي فَإِن يَقْتُلُونِي يَقْتُلُونِي. That statement is brimming with faith. That statement, it epitomizes the spirit of a believer. فَإِن يَقْتُلُونِي يَقْتُلُونِي فَلَمْ أَكُنْ لِأُشْرِكَ بِالرَّحْمَانِ مِنْ خِيفَةِ الْقَتْلِ. If they choose to behead me, if they choose to kill me, so be it. Out of the fear or the threat of losing my life, I will never forsake my faith. فَيَا رَبَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالْعَبْدَ يُونُسٍ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى نَجِّنِي. O the Lord of Musa, O the Lord of Ibrahim, grant me salvation and grant me protection. Muhammad ibn Samak, rahmatullah alayh, sitting in a gathering in which Harun Rashid was there and other prominent personalities were there. Hamid Allah wa Athna alayh. He praised Allah and he sends salutations on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, مَا يُسَاوِي أَلْفٌ مِّنَ الْخَلَفِ وَاحِدًا مِّنَ السَّلَفِ. Leave the Sahaba, 1,000 of us cannot be equal to our pious predecessors. And this is a very critical thing we need to understand. Islam is a beautiful religion that advocates respect across the divide. Yesterday when I touched down at Birmingham International and the police officer took me aside and asked me a few questions, and he asked me a question, what would you advocate which your invite letter claims is in harmony with Islamic values and British principles? And I said it and I say it. Islam is a religion that teaches us respect across the divide. In the Quran, Allah makes reference to the spouse of Lut as illa ajuzan fil ghabirin. That those that were destroyed remained behind, and those that were protected were taken away. In the scholars of tafsir dissect this word ajuz, and many give an explanation that she was not an elderly woman, she was not old. But the Quran makes reference to this woman as an old woman, notwithstanding her disbelief, she was the spouse of a Nabi. Islam teaches us respect. Look at the phrase of the Quran. Illa ajuzan fil ghabirin. Islam teaches us respect, and that's the message you'll get from the galaxy of Sahaba. Under this verse in the 16 Jews where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى. Anybody familiar with Arabic would know asa and ghawa are stern words. And Allah has used these two stern words on the context of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam in relation to the mistake that he made and he ate from the forbidden tree. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi writes that these are words that Allah has used, and obviously Allah is the greatest. Wallahu la yastahi min al-haq. And Allah enjoys the authority to admonish, to reprimand, to discipline any of His creation. But then he goes on to say, it doesn't give you and I the license. It doesn't give you and I the license that we latch onto this vocabulary and we make reference to Adam in a condescending way with derogatory comments. فَأَمَّا أَن يَبْتَدِيَ مِنْ قِبَلِ نَفْسِهِ فَلَيْسَ بِجَائِزٍ لَنَا فِي أَبَائِنَا الْأَوَّلِينَ فَكَيْفَ فِي أَبِينَا الْأَقْدَمِ النَّبِيَ الَّذِي تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. He said, we will only make reference to this when we read the verse of the Quran. But to initiate the discussion, to bring in vocabulary from my side, to make this a deliberated topic, and to reflect over it and to speak ours, it is not permissible for me to use unpleasant vocabulary on my recent forefathers. How dare I pronounce inflammatory comments against the first of humans, against the Nabi of Allah, the person from whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the entire universe. So Islam is a religion that advocates respect across the divide, across the religious boundaries, across the geographical boundaries, respect to one and all. What did he say? And unfortunately we live in a time where we want to speak ill of our pious predecessors, where every man has a tongue of his own, and every person has a podium of his own, and the net has given him a platform of his own. Vent yourself and throw out your frustration and make any and every comment about our pious predecessor. He said, مَا يُسَاوِي أَلْفٌ مِّنَ الْخَلَفِ وَاحِدًا مِّنَ السَّلَفِ. 1,000 of us cannot be equal to one of those that passed. Aun ibn Abdullah rahmatullah used to say, مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ كانوا يجعلون للدنيا ما فضل عن آخرتهم وإنكم تجعلون لآخرتكم ما فضل عن دنياكم. There's a big difference between the pious and us. They devoted their resources for akhirah. If anything remained, they channeled it in this world. You've reversed the entire thing. You devote your resources to this world. If anything remains, you channel it towards akhirah. He went on to say, then he started speaking about the Sahaba and he paid tribute to them. He said, Ya Aba Bakr, بلغت غاية الائتمار حيث مدحك الملك الجبار ويا عمر لم تكن واليا وإنما كنت والدا ويا عمر لم تكن واليا وإنما كنت والدا ويا عثمان قتلت مظلوما ولم تزل مدفونا وما قولك فيمن وحد الله طفلا صغيرا حتى توفي كهلا كبيرا. He said, Abu Bakr, you reached the pinnacle of counseling. This planet will never see a greater counselor. بلغت غاية الائتمار حيث مدحك الملك الجبار. Allah acknowledges and gives testimony to your counseling. You know, you say, he stood by my side in my marriage. He stood by my side in my financial problems. You stood by the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and counseled him on the night of Hijrah. بلغت غاية الائتمار. You were the greatest of counselors and you counseled the greatest of person. إذ مدحك الملك الجبار. When Allah himself praised you and said, ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا ويا عمر لم تكن واليا وإنما كنت والدا. Umar, you were not a ruler, you were not a governor, you were not a monarch, you were not a king. You were a father to the nation. You were a father to the nation. May Allah transmit my sentiments to the political arena across the globe. Today we have become orphans. Look around you and search for one man who's in a driving seat, who embodies the sentiments of a father to his children. وَيَا عُمَرْ لَمْ تَكُنْ وَالِيَا وَإِنَّمَا كُنْتَ وَالِدَا. Nay, let me say to you, today a biological father is no longer a father in his house in terms of his approach, dogmatic, autocrat, dictating. That sounds more like a ruler than a father to his own children. Umar, you were a father to the nation across the world. وَيَا عُثْمَانْ قُتِلْتَ مَظْلُومًا وَلَمْ تَزَلْ مَدْفُونًا. You've been wrongly killed and you remain in the mercy of Allah. And then he goes on to say, Wama qawluk, where do I begin praising a man who acknowledged the greatness of Allah, testified the oneness of Allah from the time his eyes opened, became the son-in-law of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and became one of the most learned people and the greatest sons of Islam. Fahada sahibul ghar, wahada imamul a'sar, wahada ahadul akhyar. مدحهم الملك الجبار وأسكنهم دار الأبرار. He said, when you look at Abu Bakr, the companion of the cave, you look at Umar, the leader of the nation, you look at Uthman and Ali. Uthman رضي الله عنه wedded the daughter of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. His aunt looked at him and he said, أبشر وقد حييت ثلاثا وطرا ثم ثلاثا وثلاثا أخرى ثم بأخرى لكي تتم عشرا لقيت خيرا ووقيت شرا نكحت والله حصانا زهرا وأنت بكر ولقيت بكرا. Uthman, where do I start praising you? أبشر, congratulations. حييت ثلاثا وطرا ثم ثلاثا وثلاثا أخرى ثم بأخرى. Arabic is amazing, it's phenomenal, it's mind-boggling. Three praises of Allah people. ثم بأخرى لكي تتم عشرا لقيت خيرا ووقيت شرا. Good has fallen in your place and divinely you've been protected against evil. نكحت والله حصانا زهرا وأنت بكر ولقيت بكرا. Allah wedded you to the daughter of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No human in the annals of human history enjoys the privilege of wedding two daughters of any Nabi. Understand this. No human enjoys the privilege of wedding two daughters of any Nabi. Only to know Uthman enjoys it with the greatest Nabi. Radiallahu anhu wa ardah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, Antum aktharu salatan, wa aktharu siyaman, wa aktharu ijtihadan min ashabi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَهُمْ كَانُوا خَيْرًا مِنْكُمْ. Listen, O people, you exert yourself more than the companions did. At times you fast more than they observe fast. But I must tell you, they stand out to be closer to Allah than all of you together. قَالُوا لِمَا يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ قَالُوا لِمَا يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ O Ibn Mas'ud, tell us why. Unpack that, dissect that for us. Elucidate on this. He said, لِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا أَزْهَدُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَأَرْغَبُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ Simply because they were abstinent from this world. The goal was Akhirah, the aim was Akhirah, the objective was Akhirah. While you engage in your worship, but your heart is occupied with the riches of this world. Bilal ibn Sa'd was one of the great orators of Islam. He one day addressing his audience said, لَوْ سَلِمْتُمْ مِنَ الْخَطَايَا If you safeguard yourself against all evils, فَلَمْ تَعْمَلُوا فِي مَا بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ خَطِيئًا You perpetrate no crime, you commit no offense. وَلَمْ تَتْرُكُوا لِلَّهِ طَاعَةً إِلَّا جَهَدْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ فِي أَدَائِهَا And you leave no opportunity of worship but that you assert and exert and fulfill and implement it in your life. However, your heart remains occupied with the love of this world, the embellishments of this world. لَوَّسِعَكُمْ ذَلِكَ شَرًّا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ This one is enough to envelope you, to engulf you in evil in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Hubayra radiallahu anhu, the narration is in Muslim Sharif. Abu Hubayra, A'id ibn Amr al-Muzani. Abu Hubayra, A'id ibn Amr al-Muzani. Wa huwa min ahli bay'at al-Ridwan. He was from the veterans of Ridwan. Now, you know, read this whole thing in the 26th juz in Surah Fatah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those who pledge their allegiance. And sometimes when I'm going through these verses, I get so excited in my thoughts and I want to imagine and I get overwhelmed by the mere thought. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَأَنْزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا Indeed, Allah was pleased with the believers, 1400 in number. The hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at them and said, أَنْتُمْ خَيْرُ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ On this earth at this moment, there is nobody more noble than you on the entire earth. Not Arabia, not the Arabian Peninsula, across the globe, there does not reside more noble humans on planet earth than you. The hadith of Muslim Sharif, لا يدخل النار أحد ممن بايع تحت الشجرة Anyone who pledged his allegiance to me beneath the tree will never ever be subjected to the flames of hell. Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi in his tafsir has made an amazing analogy. Just to put things into context, I don't want to go into the intricacies of the entire campaign. Hudaybiyah in essence, Hudaybiyah was the name of a well and the entire area was then known by this very place. But in essence, it was the name of a well. There was repeated provocation from the disbelievers and they were playing a very tough card with the Muslims. To the extent when the Prophet ﷺ was denied a safe passage to Mecca, then he said, okay, let's enter into a peace treaty and let's sign an agreement. And finally it was agreed, it was a bitter pill to swallow, but nonetheless, he surrendered and he accepted. And he wrote that this is a covenant, this is an agreement, this is a pact, this is a peace treaty. Between Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the kuffar of Mecca, and they said, no, we have objections to this. The whole contentious issue for us is you're not a prophet. لو نعلم أنك رسول الله ما صددناك عن البيت. If we accepted you as a prophet, we would allow you a free passage. The contentious issue is we don't accept your prophethood, so you will have to erase and delete this aspect that you're a prophet, and you must write this is between Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. Allah makes reference to this in the Quran. إِذْ جَعَلَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْحَمِيَّةِ حَمِيَّةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَعَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَلْزَمَهُمْ كَلِمَةَ التَّقْوَى وَكَانُوا أَحَقَّ بِهَا وَأَهْلَهَا There's so much in this ayah relevant to the topic of Sahaba. When the disbelievers displayed this prejudiced nature, حَمِيَّةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ But Allah allowed tranquility to descend upon the believers. وَأَلْزَمَهُمْ كَلِمَةَ التَّقْوَى And Allah kept them bonded to the word of piety. And then Allah said, وَكَانُوا أَحَقَّ بِهَا وَأَهْلَهَا It is the Sahaba who are most deserving of this. It is the Sahaba that are the closest to this. The scholars say by virtue of this, Allah blows the morale and those who chant evil things against the Sahaba, that regardless of what you say in their favor, Allah referred to them as the closest to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the most deserving when it came to Iman. Furthermore, he makes a deduction that despite the provocation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow the Sahaba to engage in battle. And the Quran makes reference to this here that وَهُوَ الَّذِي كَفَّ أَيْدِيَهُمْ عَنْكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ بِبَطْنِ مَكَّةَ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ أَظْفَرَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا هُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَصَدُّوكُمْ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَالْهَدْيَ مَعْكُوفًا أَنْ يَبْلُغَ مَحِلَّهُ ولولا رجال مؤمنون ونساء مؤمنات لم تعلموهم أن تطؤوهم فتصيبكم منهم معرة بغير علم. He dissects the word معرة. And if you go into Lughatul Quran and you go into Arabic grammar, you'll find the word معرة could mean مضرة, it could mean harm, difficulty, it could mean عيب, it could mean a blemish, shame, embarrassment, etc. He says the most relevant context of the word here is a shame and embarrassment. Now just you know, give me your undivided attention to appreciate the profile of Sahaba. The Quran says that due to the fact that in Mecca there were some Muslims that were residing. وَلَوْلَا رِجَالٌ مُؤْمِنُونَ وَنِسَاءٌ مُؤْمِنَاتٌ لَمْ تَعْلَمُوهُمْ أَن تَطَعُوهُمْ. If you had to engage with the disbelievers. And here again is the beauty of Islam. Today we know under the slogans of collateral damage how many innocent civilians have lost their lives. It's playing with vocabulary, it's playing with words, it's speaking with four tongues. I said the other day in June when I was here, I read an article and I mentioned it to someone just yesterday. I was reading an article, they say, about obesity and how many lives it's claiming. So the article suggested that one of the reasons why we cannot curtail and curb obesity is because the term obesity sounds like a medical condition. It sounds like a person has a serious problem and you sympathize with him. They say now there is a need to stigmatize the condition. And you need to be a bit harsh and abrupt and say you're fat. That's what the article was, blatant and aggressive, just like that. He said we need to come out of the medical, scientific terminology and use the word obesity, and you know, it sounds medical, okay, I guess you go for therapy for your condition or what. You know, you're going to count it. He said, no, we need to use now the word fat and become a little insensitive so that it puts pressure on the person to obviously bring his tummy in. Be it as it may, look at the beauty of Islam. If you were to engage in battle at that time, the chances were you would have wrongly killed the Muslims. Because obviously in Mecca there were many innocent Muslims, the likes of Abu Jundul and others, who were victims of the aggression of the infidels of Mecca. And in the interim, you could have killed them wrongly. فَتُصِيبَكُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَعَرَّةٌ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Now unintentionally, unwittingly, if you had killed, it's definitely not a sin, but obviously it's a source of embarrassment. It's a source of shame that you have killed your own. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi writes in his tafsir, the Sahaba were not prophets, they were not sinless. But from time to time, there was divine intervention to save them from mistakes also. There was divine intervention. Had they embarked and did, they would have not been sinners in the eyes of Allah. Islamic jurisprudence will spell out to you the implications of qatl al-khata. If by mistake you kill the person, there's a penalty, but it's not a sin because you have not intended it. But there was divine intervention from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to avoid them from errors as well. Be it as it may, this was the occasion of Hudaybiyah. So Abu Hubayra Aid ibn Amr al-Mudhani radiyallahu anhu, I'm saying to you, my brother, how much have you studied the lives of Sahaba? Mm-hmm. I've been speaking about it back home due to the fact that obviously the World Cup was played there. So many things of the World Cup came out in the papers. There was an article in the media back home. And I spoke about it in many of my talks. And I'll say it again. What did the article read? Meet the 11 greatest sinners in football history. The flip side of the coin. This wasn't pulled out of any alternative media. It was there in the mainstream when the hype was on and it was happening. And there was a whole dedicated 2 pages A friend of mine brought it and he said, Sheikh, this will make good material for your lectures. Meet the 11 greatest sinners in football history. The article further went on to say, we call them Misdeeds United. We call them Misdeeds United. One of them was proud to say in an interview that he beggared 700 women. Look at the innocence of a child. I mentioned this in a talk. My young son came to me and said, Dad, how did that woman fit in one room? Once upon a time, that was the fabric of our society. Someone came to one of my scholars and said, our son is born to me, what name should I give? He said, name him Uthman, the Ummah needs modest people. There is a vacuum of modesty. Speak of the youth of Sahaba, and this is, I stand here in Birmingham and I say this, we have no hidden agenda. We have no sinister agenda. We want to bring about a good fabric in our society. We want to bring about a good fiber in our community. The hadith of Bukhari, Salma ibn Akwa radiallahu anhu said, Kharaj alayna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes out. And some children from the Banu Aslam tribe were practicing archery. So the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam came. He added some lightheartedness. He said, Irmu Bani Ismail, fa inna abakum kana ramiya. Go for it. Develop accuracy and precision. After all, your father and your ancestor Ismail alayhi salam was one of the greatest archers that history has seen. Wa ana ma'a bani fulan. And okay, boys, you on that side, I'm joining them, let's go. Fa amsaku aydiyahum. They all dropped their hands down. Nabi Sassim said, ma lakum la tarmoon. But what's the matter? I said, well, youth shoot from that side and we play. He said, O Nabi of Allah, when you stood on one side, how dare we fight against you? How dare we play against you? It hit me so hard, it made me cry. An outside environment is an informal environment. It's a casual environment. It's not a structured environment. It's not a discipline. If that which formed the outside environment can become the classroom environment of today, trust me, we've made it. You don't want to know what goes through in an average class. What was that? That speaks volumes. It speaks volumes on the fabric of a community. The children playing, a disrespect, the Nabi of Allah, how dare I shoot an arrow when you're on that side? There was a time in our history where we showed respect. But today, how blatant, how arrogant are the youth? He will pop a pill. We had a youngster who was admitted in one of our rehabs back in South Africa recently. He was popping 200 pills a day. Every hour he was popping 15 pills. What has happened? It has paralyzed our community. It has destroyed us. Anyway, Abu Hubayra Ayyub ibn Amr al-Muzani radiallahu anhu says, أن أبا سفيان مر بسلمان وسهيب وبلال رضي الله عنه. Abu Sufyan passed by Ammar, Bilal and Suhaib رضي الله عنه. So they made a remark and they said, ما أخذت السيوف من عنق عدو الله ما أخذها. The hadith is in Muslim Sharif. Did not the swords of Allah extract their foe? Did not the swords of Allah extract their due from the foes of Allah? So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu found the statement to be a bit distasteful. He said, تَقُولُونَ هَذَا لِشَيْخِ قُرَيْشٍ وَسَيِّدِهَا. Are you people saying these sentiments to the leader of the Quraysh, the most influential man amongst them? Anyway, they didn't retort and respond. ثُمَّ أَتَى النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Then he came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, فَأَخْبَرَهُ بِالَّذِي قَالُوا. Said, O Nabi of Allah, I passed by, and Bilal, Ammar and Suhaib made this remark to Abu Sufyan. I think it was a bit distasteful and uncalled for, so this is what I said. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَعَلَّكَ أَغْضَبْتَهُمْ يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَإِنْ كُنْتَ أَغْضَبْتَهُمْ لَقَدْ أَغْضَبْتَ رَبَّكَ. Abu Bakr, I must tell you, as close as you are to me, as beloved as you are to me, as fond as I am to you. But let me tell you, I think that statement of yours has offended Bilal and Ammar and Salman. And if you have offended any of my companions, consider Allah perpetually angry with you. So immediately he comes back. He wasn't shy to apologize. He said, Ya ikhwani la'alli aghdabtukum. My colleagues, my friends, have I offended you? Have I trampled your toes? Have I been in? قالوا لا يا أبا بكر يغفر الله لك. No, Abu Bakr, we haven't taken anything personal. All cleared out. This again was the beauty of Sahaba. They would not harbor anything. They would not hold anything. They would not retain anything. They would flush out everything. Their hearts were clean and clear. I will speak on this, inshallah, hopefully time permitting a bit later. Alqama ibn Marfad says, انتهى الزهد إلى ثمانية من التابعين. When you look at the quality of abstinence in among the tabi'een, then eight amongst them stand out to be unique. They were an embodiment of the quality of abstinence. Minhum al-Hasan ibn Abi al-Hasan. Among them was the great giant and the great son of Islam, Hasan Basri. For the record, Hasan Basri was born from a union, parents of whom both were slaves. His father was Yasar, and he was a slave in the house of Zayd ibn Thabit, who is among the 13 scribes of Revelation. His mother was Khayra, who was a slave girl in the house of Umm Salma radiallahu anha. So coming from a family of slavery, became one of the greatest sons of Islam. He said, مَا كُنَّا نَرَاهُ إِلَّا أَنَّهُ حَدِيثُ عَهْدٍ بِمُصِيبَةٍ. Whenever we would look at him, it would appear to us if he was attacked with a fresh calamity. Perpetually grieving, and he was in deep sorrow, deep meditation. Then he turned to us, Alqama ibn Marsad, and he said, نَضْحَكُ وَلَا نَدْرِي لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ اطَّلَعَ عَلَىٰ بَعْضِ أَعْمَالِنَا فَقَالَ لَا أَقْبَلُ مِنْكُمْ شَيْئًا. We sit and indulge and socialize, laugh and chat, and we immerse ourselves in the things of this world, and we know not, perhaps Allah has declared all our actions as unacceptable, and Allah has rejected every good deed of ours. We know not what our results are, and we sit and chat and laugh and enjoy things of this world. Then he said, وَيْحَكَ يَبْنَ آدَمْ. Woe be to you, O the son of Adam. هَلْ لَكَ بِمُحَارَبَةِ اللَّهِ مِنْ طَاقَةٍ. Do you have the strength and the ability to ever challenge Allah? فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ عَصَى اللَّهَ فَقَدْ حَارَبَهُ. The one who disobeys Allah, in essence, has challenged Allah. Then listen to the description he gives of Sahaba. He says, وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ أَدْرَكْتُ سَبْعِينَ بَدْرِيًّا أَكْثَرُ لِبَاسِهِمْ أَسُّوفِ لَوْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُمْ قُلْتُمْ مَجَانِينَ وَلَوْ رَأَوْ خِيَارَكُمْ لَقَالُوا مَا لِهَؤُلَاءِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ وَلَوْ رَأَوْ شِرَارَكُمْ لَقَالُوا مَا يُؤْمِنُ هَؤُلَاءِ بِيَوْمِ الْحِسَابِ. He said, I had the privilege to meet 70 بَدْرِيِّينَ. You pride yourself, I had dined with this celebrity. I had shared platform with this pop star. I was on a common flight with this player. You pride yourself? He said, I had the honor of meeting 70 بَدْرِيِّينَ. 70 of those who participated in Badr, أَكْثَرُ لِبَاسِهِمْ أَسُّوفِ. They would clad themselves with woolen clothing and nothing else. وَلَوْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُمْ قُلْتُمْ مَجَانِينَ. Alqama ibn Marta said, due to the fact that you have deviated from the truth to such an extent that if you have to see that Sahaba, instantly, collectively, unanimously, you would agree and you would conclude by saying, Al-Iyadu Billah, these people are insane humans. وَلَوْ رَأَوْ. Reverse it. Let's see if the Sahaba had to see you. وَلَوْ رَأَوْ خِيَارَكُمْ. If the Sahaba had to see the best amongst you, the noblest amongst you, the cream amongst you, they would say, مَا لِهَؤُلَاءِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. These people are devoid and bereft of virtue and character. وَلَوْ رَأَوْ شِرَارَكُمْ. And if the Sahaba had to see the evil and the sinful and the wicked amongst you, they would instantly conclude by saying, مَا يُؤْمِنُ هَؤُلَاءِ بِيَوْمِ الْحِسَابِ. These are not Muslims. وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ أَقْوَامًا بَيَ اللَّهِ. I seen Sahaba. كانت الدنيا أهون على أحدهم من التراب تحت قدميه. They considered the world more trivial than the sand beneath their feet. ولقد رأيت أقواما. I seen the صحابة. يمسي أحدهم. It would be evening. وما يجد عنده إلا قوتا. He would only have sufficient food to satiate his belly. فيقول. He would say, لا أجعل هذا كله في بطني. لا أجعلن بعضه لله عز وجل. فَيَتَصَدَّقُ بِهِ وَإِنْ كَانَ هُوَ أَحْوَجُ مِمَّنْ يَتَصَدَّقُ بِهِ عَلَيْهِ. They would say to themselves, how can I devour and consume this food when others are also hungry? So I will give a portion of this to a poor man. He goes on to say, I swear by Allah, they were more in need of the food than those to whom they gave the food to. Uwais Qarni rahmatullah alayh, whenever the sun used to set, whatever food, surplus food he had in his house, he used to give it in charity. And then he used to say, Allahumma man mata ju'an fala tu'akhidni bihi. Allah, I have cleared my house of everything. There's nothing extra in my house which I can eat. Everything I have given in your path. Don't hold me responsible for any human who dies on the planet out of hunger. Whenever the sun would tip on the western horizon, كَانَ التَّصَدَّقْ, he would give in charity with whatever extra clothes he had. اللَّهُمَّ مَنْ مَاتَ عُرْيَانًا فَلَا تُؤَخِذْنِي بِهِ. Allah, anyone who dies because of lack of clothing and shelter, don't hold me accountable. I have emptied out whatever I have in my house. Rabi ibn Khutaym was a great tabi'i. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said in his favor, لَوْ رَآكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَأَحَبَّكَ. Rabi, I must tell you, Allah's Nabi has not seen you, but had he seen you, he would have loved you. Imagine the testimony of Ibn Mas'ud in the favor of a man. I bear guarantee, I stand witness that Allah's Nabi would have loved you. And what did he say? أَدْرَكْنَا أَقْوَامًا كُنَّا فِي جُنُوبِهِمْ لُسُوصًا. When we match and compare ourselves to the Sahaba, Rabi ibn Khutaym say, it looks to me like we are thieves. We are thieves. We are playing around. مَا فِيكُمْ مَا الْمُجْتَهِدْ فِيكُمْ إِلَّا كَاللَّاعِبْ فِي مَنْ مَضَى. The person who exerts himself at optimum level amongst you is like a player when compared to our pious predecessors. Sometimes we get a moment of excitement and we say that really the era of Sahaba was great and undoubtedly it was rich. And we think, I wish I was born in that time. And what if Allah created me amongst the Sahaba? My brother, you know your weakness. My sister, you know your weakness. And I know my own weakness. The planning of Allah is perfect. Let me tell you why I say what I say. Ibn Ishaq makes mention of the narration. Muhammad ibn Ka'b al-Quradi narrates it. أن رجلا من أهل الكوفة. One person from Kufa came to the great giant حذيفة ابن يمان. He said, رأيتم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وصحبتموه. So you seen the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and you stayed in his company? He said, yes indeed. He said, what did you people do for him? حذيفة رضي الله عنه said, we tried our level best to honor whatever he told us. So this person now على أعناقنا. وما تركناه يمشي على الأرض. If I had to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would have put him on my shoulders. And I wouldn't allow him to walk on the earth. Huzaifa ibn Yaman said, my brother, talk is cheap, hold your tracks. Talk is cheap, hold your tracks. Revoke your statements, revoke your sentiments. If you had to be with us on the night of Khandaq, I won't know, and I don't know if you would have even protected your iman. If you had to be with us on the night of Khandaq, I give you another narration and then I'll walk you briefly through the incident. Abu Naim makes mention of it in Hilya. One Sahabi, his son came to him and he said, Ya Abata, Ra'aytum Rasulallah, oh my dad, you seen the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, yes indeed. He said, Wallahi, law ra'aytuhu lafa'altu wa lafa'altu. If I had to see him, I would have walked the extra mile. I would have done everything for the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like I said, Allah selected those that were genuine. Not you and I that are hypocritical. I gave recently a dedicated talk on the life of Umar. And when I went to Medina, I stood there by the grave of Umar and I cried and I sobbed. I said, Umar, from plotting the assassination of the master, what a revolution that you sleep in at his feet. What a life have you led Allah. That your name is embedded in the heart of every Muslim, religious or otherwise. The name of Umar and you tear. The thought of Umar and there is a flush of excitement in the body. What was the legacy he left behind? So the father said to the son, my son, if you had to see us on the night of Khandaq, the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man yadhabu, fayatina bikhabrihim. جعله الله رفيقي يوم القيامة فما قام من الناس أحد من صميم ما بهم من الجوع والقر. Don't say this, my son, that if you were there, you would have done this. Only one incident of the price we paid in the initial stages. It was Khandaq. You know now in the UK the cold you are going through. You know the difficulty you are experiencing. How many flights, the mayhem, the chaos, and how many things before I flew in, monitoring the website if the flight will come in and the rest of it. If you had to be with us on the night of Khandaq, the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who will stand up, gather the intelligence, report on information that's unfolding on the opposite camp, and I promise Allah will make him my friend in Jannah. Nobody stood up, nobody mustered the courage to volunteer. He again made the request. Would anybody stand up? Nobody volunteered. He for the third time made the request and nobody stood up until he individually addressed Huzaifa ibn Yaman and he said, Huzaifa, respond. And obviously I had no choice in the matter. لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا قد يعلم الله الذين يتسللون منكم لواذا. Do not consider the invite of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a common slogan amongst you. When he addresses you, it becomes divine. The narration of Hakim and Bayhaqi, Huzaifa ibn Yaman says, نَحْنُ صَافُونَ قُعُودٍ. We were sitting in our rows. It was the night of Khandaq. When I went once to Medina, I took a friend of mine. I said, show me where the trenches were dug. Show me where my Nabi stood. Show me where he tied the stone to his belly. Show me the location of Jabir radiallahu anhu's house. Let my mind turn the pages of history and try to imagine, try to endeavor to imagine what must have been that moment and excitement, what must have been that challenge. But yet the presence of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept them bonded and united. He said, we were sitting in our rows. Abu Sufyan wa man ma'ahu fawqana. Abu Sufyan and his army were on the upper end of Medina. Qurayda tu asfalu minna. Banu Qurayda were on the lower end of Medina. Nakhafuhum ala dararina. We feared a dual attack. Abu Sufyan's attack on us. Qurayda's attack on our children. Wama atat alayna. You experiencing cold in the UK now? Wama atat alayna laylatun qattu. أَشَدُّ ظُلْمًا وَلَا أَشَدُّ رِيحًا مِنْهَا. In our life in Medina, there wasn't a colder night than that night. وَنِيَ ظُلْمَةٌ مَا يَرَى أَحَدُنَا إِصْبَعَهُ. It was so cold, you couldn't spot your finger. You couldn't see your finger. Now a thought comes to mind in Surah Nur in the 18th juz, where Allah speaks about the layers of darkness in the life of a disbeliever. أَوْكَ ظُلُمَاتٍ فِي بَحْرِ لُجِّيٍ يَغْشَاهُ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ سَحَابٌ ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا وَمَن لَّمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِن نُّورٍ. Allah says the disbeliever is enveloped and engulfed with so many layers of darkness. It's like it's the dead of night, it's the deep ocean, it's the dark ocean. Above him is a wave, above that wave is another wave, and above that are the dark clouds, and it's a dark night. إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ. When he exposes his hand, when he exposes his hand, لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا. He cannot even see his own hand. Understand, the scholars of tafsir say that the phrase of the Quran is so unique because the hand is something you can draw close to your eyes. Any other organ you cannot draw close. Yet the Quran says that there's such layers of darkness. What did the Sahabi say? وَهِيَ ظُلْمَةٌ مَا يَرَى أَحَدُنَا إِصْبَعَهُ. It was so dark, it was so cold, it was so icy that we couldn't see anything. فَجَعَلَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ يَسْتَأْذِنُونَ النَّبِيَّ صلى الله عليه وسلم. The moment was too daunting for the hypocritical to still play the act. Now the act gets exposed. How long can you play on? You can lie. What they say, you can fool all the people some of the time. And you can fool some of the people all the time. But you can't fool all the people all the time. The moment became too daunting. وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ. The hearts reached the throats. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. And you started harboring multiple thoughts. هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers were jolted. وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. So the munafiqeen came and they said, إِنَّ بُيُوتَنَا عَوْرًا. In Bayan al-Quran it is written, their participation on this occasion and all occasions was nothing more than takthir al-sawad. They only added to the numbers which psychologically weakened the opponent. In terms of active physical contribution, nothing from them. Yes, their presence psychologically weakened the opponents because the numbers appeared to be big. But they were not even comfortable to add in their numbers, that's it. So they came and they said, إِنَّ بُيُوتَنَا عَوْرَةٌ وَمَا هِيَ بِعَوْرَةٌ That our homes are exposed. أَيْ سَهْلَةُ الْمَنَالِ لِمَنْ أَرَادَهَا فِيهَا Everybody wants to attack, so please. The Prophet ﷺ did not deliberate, he did not engage, he did not argue. Whoever would ask, he said, you can go. And as they left, our numbers were considerably reduced. Considerably reduced. Now, Huzaifa radiallahu anhu is saying, you said you would carry the Prophet on your shoulders? You said you would put him on your shoulders? He said, then the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us. Istaqbalana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rajulan. He came to us individually. Hatta ata alayya. And then I seen him coming. He said, it was so cold. I mean, this morning when we came out of the hotel and we were getting to the car, I see the brothers are de-icing the car. I'm like, what's happening? Chef, that's it. You have a whole kick when you move around in this weather. Think for a moment. He said, it was so cold. Many of my companions dug a hole. They hid themselves in the hole and then they took their shield and they covered it. It's an accepted fact. In cold, you tend to feel more hungry. When it's cold, you feel more hungry. When it's hot, you feel more thirsty. The Prophet ﷺ came to me. وَمَا عَلَيَّ جُنَّةٌ مِنَ الْعَدُوِّ وَلَا مِنَ الْبَرْدِ I had no shield against the enemy, nor a shawl against the cold. إِلَّا مِرْتٌ كِسَاءٌ مِنْ سُوفٍ لِإِمْرَأَتِي I had a woolen shawl that also I borrowed from my wife. مَا يُجَاوِزُ رُكْبَتَيَّ I mean, look at the cold we're experiencing. So you don't have to run through, you can apply your mind at this very moment. It barely covered my knees. مَا يُجَاوِزُ رُكْبَتَيَّ فَتَقَاصَرْتُ لِلْأَرْضِ I clung to the earth. فَأَتَانِي He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came to me. وَأَنَا جَاثٍ عَلَى رُكْبَتَيَّ And I was squatting on my knees. He said, مَنْ هَذَا Who is this brother? It's dark, it's cold, it's windy, it's icy. I, in a very faint voice, with a crack in my voice, I said, Oh Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is Huzaifa. He said, Stand up, O Huzaifa. Stand up, O Huzaifa. إِنَّهُ كَائِنٌ فِي الْقَوْمِ خَبْرٌ فَأْتِنِي بِخَبْرِ الْقَوْمِ There's some new development happening on the opposite camp. You want to intercept the intelligence and report back to me. وَأَنَا مِنْ أَشَدِّ النَّاسِ فَزَعًا وَأَشَدِّهِمْ قُرًّا To compound the problem why there was general cold, me as a person, I felt the most cold. I felt the most cold. And I felt the most hunger. But I responded to the call. مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ فَزَعًا وَلَا قُرًّا فِي جَوْفِي إِلَّا خَرَجَ مِنْ جَوْفِي When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made that dua in my favor, my hunger and my cold disappeared instantly and permanently. I am looking at my companions, they are in absolute cold and hunger, and I felt the narration of Bidayah like I'm walking in a hot shower. Now you might find it difficult to digest this. Unfortunately, our mind is logical, and that's sad. It's good in its time, but when it comes to deen, we have to shift it. Did not the giant Umar kiss the stone and say, Ya Hajar, inni a'lamu annaka Hajar. Oh stone, I know you're nothing but a stone. I want to set the record correctly. If I kiss you or anybody else kiss you, you remain a black stone. But my Nabi kiss you, I will shift my logic and I will kiss you. لولا أني رأيت رسول الله يقبلك ما قبلتك. Umar ibn Khattab al-Hudaybiyah, he said, if these stringent conditions were accepted by anyone other than the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would have interrogated that man on everything that he accepted. If it was anyone other than the Master, I would have taken him to task. Tell me why you agree. But it was the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know Umar went through an imbalance for a moment, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then ultimately gave him the vision to appreciate the foresight in the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You take on the occasion of peak hour traffic, which has crippled the world practically anywhere and everywhere, more so in the UK because of the motorways and the narrow roads inside, etc. It can be peak hour traffic and people are frustrated. But let it be the head of state that is coming with his entourage, and then there are two choppers hovering above, and there are police that are signaling, and he's going like a breeze through the traffic. And you can see everybody frustrated and agitated in the traffic, but it doesn't affect him any time, and every time is perfect time for him. Hudhayfa ibn Yaman said, everybody around me is in cold and clinging to the earth, and I'm relaxing and I'm chilling and I'm cool about the whole thing. Anyway, as I leave, the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تحدثن في القوم شيئا حتى تأتيني. لا تحدثن في القوم شيئا حتى تأتيني. Don't do anything until you don't report back to me. Look at diligent compliance. Look at diligent compliance. لا تحدثن في القوم شيئا حتى تأتيني. So I left. When I got close to the people there, to the opposite camp, نظرت ضوء نار لهم توقد. I seen a fire was been blazing, and there was a fire that was kindled. And in the glow of the fire, I seen a person, رجلٌ أدهم, dark skin, who was warming his hands at the fire. وَيَمْسَحُ خَاصِرَتَهُ. And then he was gently stroking the sides of his body. وَلَمْ أَكُنْ أَعْرِفُ أَبَا سُفْيَانَ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ. Prior to that, I had heard about Abu Sufyan, but I didn't know him. فَانْتَزَعْتُ سَهْمًا مِنْ كِنَامَتِي. I took out an arrow from my quiver. And I put it on my bow, and I had a perfect shot. It was clear, I was camouflaged, there was chaos and mayhem, the glow was there, Abu Sufyan was at an angle. I had obviously positioned myself, nobody could see me. And I was about to release the arrow, فَذَكَرْتُ قَوْلَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. And I had a flash of the advice of Nabi alayhi salam. He said, don't do anything until you report back to me. I wish my young brother here in the United Kingdom, I say to you, before you pop a pill, you also have a flash of the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I wish my brother, before you dine with a strange woman in a club, you also have a flash of the verse, وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. The friends of Allah don't come close to fornication and zina. I wish my brother, before you involve yourself in a fraudulent deal, you also have a flash of the verses of the Quran. Allah forbid I'm praying and I have a flash of a strange woman. That's the irony of my situation. He said everything was perfect. And just then I had this flash. I realized, no. I put my arrow back into the quiver and I said, no, I've got to comply to what the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. It's not my emotion, it's compliance to what Allah and His Nabi says. That's going to help me. ثُمَّ إِنِّي شَجَّعْتُ نَفْسِي. I mustered the courage and I got close. فَإِذَا أَدْنَى النَّاسِ مِنِّي بَنُوا عَامِرٍ. The people that were closest to me were Banu Amir. But there was chaos there. They were saying, يَا آلَ عَامِرٍ أَرْرَحِيلٍ أَرْرَحِيلٍ. Move from here, move from here. لَا مُقَامَ لَكُمْ. Move, move. وَإِنِّي لَأَسْمَعُ صَوْتَ الْحِجَارَةِ. And the tents were flying, the stones were moving, and it was absolute chaos. You know, there was no stability. So I realized it's pretty much over. I decided to return. ثُمَّ إِنِّي خَرَجْتُ نَحْوَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. فَلَمَّا انْتَصَفَتْ بِي الطَّرِيقُ. When I was in the dead center, إِذَا أَنَا بِنَحْوٍ مِّنْ عِشْرِينَ فَارِسًا. There are the 20 horsemen that advanced to me. All of them had turbans tied on them. They came to me, they congratulated, and I'm still, it's extremely cold and I'm still feeling warm. I'm still feeling warm. Can you imagine this? I mean, we in our rooms here, and we're feeling, with all the heating around us, why? Because we don't have the heat of Iman. We have the heat of lust. We have other types of heat, not the heat of Iman. They said, أَخْبِرْ صَاحِبَكَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ كَفَاهُ. Congratulations to you, and convey our message to your Prophet that Allah has become sufficient on the fighting front, and Allah has taken care of the battle. You are victorious. And Jibreel descended, وَرَدَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِغَيْظِهِمْ لَمْ يَنَالُوا خَيْرًا. وَرَدَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِغَيْظِهِمْ لَمْ يَنَالُوا خَيْرًا. And Allah returned the disbelievers in their rage and their fury. لَمْ يَنَالُوا خَيْرًا. They achieved nothing. وَكَفَى اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْقِتَالِ. And Allah became sufficient on the fighting front. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ قَوِيًّا عَزِيزًا. And Allah is permanently full of might and authority. He said, I came back, my companions are in cold and I am still at ease. And when I read this, I started crying in envy and grinning with envy for Hudhayfa ibn Yaman. But obviously he deserved it. I can only stretch an envious eye. But I love him. By Allah we love him. I cry and I say, my Allah, you know, in my heart, when we read the lives of these Sahaba, the body gets excited. The body gets excited. To imagine what that moment must have been when the master was sitting and around him was Abu Bakr and Umar. Ufina Rasulullah yatlu kitaba. Bukhari Sharif, the couplets are there of Abdullah ibn Rawaha. Ufina Rasulullah yatlu kitaba. إذن شق معروف من الفجر ساطع أرانا الهدى بعد العمى فقلوبنا به موقنات أنما قال واقع يبيت يجافي جنبه عن فراشه إذا استقلت بالمشركين المضاجع. The golden era of Nabuwat, the blessed land of Mecca, is the flush of dawn, is the blessed location of the Kaaba, is the congregation of Abu Bakr and Umar, and Allah's Nabi reciting Quran. Can there be a greater combination of nobility than this? The thought alone leaves a shiver in the body. He said, I came to the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَسْبَلَ عَلَيَّ شَمْلَتَهُ. He then dropped his blessed shawl over me. And then he drew me close to his body. Allah, if only this happens, that I envy him, then we've made a step in the correct direction. If my children aspire and wish for this, I wish I was there. There is a change in the mindset. There is a change in their aspiration. There is a change in their vision. Then that also is a step in the right direction. He said, then he completed salah, فَأَخْبَرْتُهُ خَبْرَ الْقَوْمِ. I narrated the events in detail. And I slept with him. Others were tossing and turning. And that was the best sleep I had in my life. The narration goes on. These are the words of the hadith. These are the words of the hadith. In the morning, the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, Qum ya Nauman. Sleepy when you stand up. Master, sleepy. How long are you sleeping? The Prophet doesn't use the word sleepy, Nauman. Qum ya Nauman. I'm saying, these were the people who stood up for the cause. They were the people whom Allah selected. Another narration, Abu Naim makes mention in Hilya, Jubair ibn Nufayl. On the strength of Jubair ibn Nufayl, who narrates from his father. He says, we were sitting with the great Sahabi Miqdad ibn Aswad radiallahu anhu. A person passed by and he said, Tuba li hatayni al-aynayn allatayni ra'ata Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi lawajidna anna ra'ayna ma ra'ayt wa shahidna ma shahidta. A person passed by, he looked at Miqdad ibn Aswad. He said, oh, the way I envy your eyes, these are eyes that had the privilege of repeated glances at the greatest human. Tuba li hatayni al-aynayn allatayni ra'ata Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi lawajidna anna ra'ayna ma ra'ayt. How I dearly wish I also had a glimpse of what you repeatedly enjoyed. Wa shahidna ma shahidta. And I was also there when you were present. And he started paying tribute and acknowledging. Jubair ibn Nufayl said, my father then glanced to Miqdad radiallahu anhu and realized his body language, his facial expressions were not of excitement. He wasn't getting elated. He wasn't getting all impressed by his praises. He said, brother, are you over? He said, yes. Then he turned around and he said, مَا يَحْمِلُ أَحَدَكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَتَمَنَّى مَحْضَرًا غَيَّبَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَنْهُ لَوْ شَهِدَهُ لَا يَدْرِي كَيْفَ كَانَ يَكُولُ فِيهِ. I don't know what makes people desire a period and an era from which Allah had consciously kept them absent. Had they been present, they have no idea how they would have fared. What did he say? Don't excite yourself with the thought. Then he went on to elaborate and elucidate. وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ حَذَرَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ أَقْوَامٌ كَبَّهُمُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ فِي جَهَنَّمْ لَمْ يُجِيبُوهُ وَلَمْ يُصَدِّقُوهُ. For the record, we were not the only people who seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Many seen him, we were the fortunate ones to accept him. What guarantee do you have if you were present, you would have been on our side and not the opposite side? وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ حَذَرَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ أَقْوَامٌ. Nations seen him. كَبَّهُمُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي مَنَا عَلَى مَنَاطِرِهِمْ فِي جَهَنَّمْ. Allah threw them headlong into hell. لَمْ يُجِيبُوهُ وَلَمْ يُصَدِّقُوهُ. They denied and refuted his message. أولا تحمدون الله إذ أخرجكم الله عز وجل لا تعرفون إلا ربكم مصدقين بما جاء به نبيكم وقد كفيتم البلاء بغيركم. Why don't you praise Allah from the time you opened your eyes? You only knew Allah as your Lord, Muhammad as your Prophet, and a home in which Quran was recited. The hard work has been done by others, you only have to pluck the fruits and enjoy it. وَقَدْ كُفِيتُمُ الْبَلَاءَ بِغَيْرِكُمْ. The toiling has been done in the early hours. وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ بُعِثَ النَّبِيُّ عَلَىٰ أَشَدِّ حَالٍ بُعِثَ عَلَيْهِ نَبِيٌّ مِّنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent at an era that was more daunting and more challenging than any Nabi. وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ بُعِثَ النَّبِيُّ عَلَىٰ أَشَدِّ حَالٍ بُعِثَ عَلَيْهِ نَبِيٌّ مِّنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. What was it? فِي فَتْرَةٍ. When the succession of prophets had been long paused. وَجَاهِلِيَّةٍ. People were steeped in ignorance. مَا يَرَوْنَ دِينًا أَفْضَلُ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْأَوْثَانِ. They considered no faith more noble than the worship of idols. I always marvel at these words of Allama al-Nasafi in his tafsir in Surah Taghabun in Madarik al-Tanzeel. He writes, فَقَالُوا أَبَشَرٌ يَهْدُونَنَا فَكَفَرُوا وَتَوَلَّوا وَاسْتَغْنَى اللَّهِ. That among the objections the infidels of Mecca had was that we don't accept that a human must be a prophet. A bashar, a human, yahdunana, guiding us. فَكَفَرُوا they denied, وَتَوَلَّوا they turned their back. وَاسْتَغْنَى اللَّهِ. Allah is independent, وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Allah is worthy of praise. He said, أَنْكَرُوا رِسَالَةَ الْبَشَرِ وَمَا أَنْكَرُوا عِبَادَةَ الْحَجَرِ. أَنْكَرُوا رِسَالَةَ الْبَشَرِ. It didn't make sense to their logic for a human to be a prophet. But yes, it gelled with their logic for a stone to be a god. مَا يَرَوْنَ أَبُو رَجَاءُ طَارِدِي in Bukhari Jilla Thani, his quotation is that, كُنَّا نَعْبُدُ حَجَرًا فَإِذَا وَجَدْنَا حَجَرًا خَيْرًا مِنْهُ أَلْقَيْنَاهُ وَأَخَذْنَا الْآخَرَ. He said, our level of ignorance was such, we would idolize a stone, and then if we would find a stone with a greater glitter and more glamour, we would forsake God number one and embrace God number two. مَا يَرَوْنَ دِينًا أَفْضَلُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْأَوْثَانِ. فَجَاءَ بِفُرْقَانِ. The Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with a criterion. فَرَّقَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْحَقِّ وَالْبَاطِلِ. Which separated truth from falsehood. وَفَرَّقَ بَيْنَ الْوَالِدِ وَوَلَدِهِ. It put the father on one side and the son on the other side. It put the brother on one side and he put his sibling on one side. He said, you wish in our era, you are so lucky, your whole family is a Muslim. Every Sahabi had to contend with one family member who was a non-Muslim. فَلَا تَقِرُّ عَيْنَهُ. فَلَا تَقِرُّ عَيْنَهُ لِأَنَّهُ يَرَى حَمِيمَهُ فِي النَّارِ. We never could sigh with relief because there was always one among us. If you see in the tafsir in Surah Ahqaf in the 26th juz, under this ayah, حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَبَلَغَ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً. I don't have time to go into details, but it's mentioned under this ayah, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the only person in the entire galaxy of Sahaba who enjoyed the privilege of his parents, his spouses and his children all were Muslims. No other Sahabi enjoyed this honor. So Miqdad ibn Aswad is saying, you wishing you were present in our era? لا يدري لو شهده كيف كان يكون فيه. You know not how you would have fared. Ibn Ishaq's narration, Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu narrates it, when the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam collected the spoils of the war from Hunayn, وقسم للمتألفين, and then he distributed amongst the new reavers, and amongst the muhajirin, and amongst the tulaqa. Tulaqa were those الذين خلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سبيلهم يوم فتح مكة, whom the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not, you know, harassed and liberated on the occasion of the conquest of Mecca. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لِلْأَنْصَارِ مِنْهَا شَيْءٌ قَلِيلٌ وَلَا كَثِيرٌ. And somehow, systematically it appeared, that as if the Ansar were excluded. وَجَدَ هَذَا الْحَيُّ مِنَ الْأَنْصَارِ. So the Ansar took offense to this. فَمَشَى سَعْدُ بْنُ عُبَادَ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Sa'd ibn Ubadah went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْحَيُّ مِنَ الْأَنْصَارِ قَدْ وَجَدُوا عَلَيْكَ. قَدْ وَجَدُوا عَلَيْكَ. O Nabi of Allah, the Ansar are slightly offended. They are offended. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why are they offended? He said, fi qismik. O Nabi of Allah, they objecting on how you distribute it. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَأَيْنَ أَنْتَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And Sa'd, what's your take on the matter? Again, أَبَرُّهُمْ قُلُوبًا. Sahaba, there was no double standard. There were no forked tongues. There was no hypocrisy. But O Nabi of Allah, I'm part of my group and I equally also share their sentiments. He didn't give up and act, no, I disapprove with them totally. I'm just representing them for now. I'm the spokesman, but I'm in harmony with you. No, they were honest. The Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Uthman ibn Maz'un radiallahu anhu's house. And he was having an intimate moment with his spouse. And the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and knocked on the door, and he came. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized, we got him off guard. He said, La'allana ajjalna. I think we came on the wrong time. He said, yes, O Nabi of Allah. Yes. No, it's a perfect time. Come inside. No, this is not our deen. قُلْ مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُتَكَلِّفِينَ أي وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُتَصَنِّعِينَ You come inside, brother, no problem. What does your brother want now, man? Time you take it out, it creates a fight at home because your brother-in-law came. فَإِنْ قِيلَ لَكُمْ ارْجِعُوا فَارْجِعُوا فَإِنْ قِيلَ لَكُمْ ارْجِعُوا فَارْجِعُوا If you came at the wrong time and you are told, go back, هُوَ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ It will keep the hearts pure, it will keep the environment clean. لَعَلَّنَا عَجَّلْنَا Uthman, we got you off guard. Yes, O Nabi of Allah, you got me off guard. They were honest, they were transparent, they were clean and clear. There was no offense. Sa'd bin Ubadah, what's your take on the matter? O Nabi of Allah, مَا أَنَا إِلَّا مْرُؤُمْ مِنْ قَوْمِ I'm part of them, so yes, I must admit that, you know, it's a bit uncomfortable to see that the wealth has gone to others and nothing has come our way. He said, okay, do me a favor, فَجْمَعْ لِي قَوْمَكَ فِي هَذِي الْحَظِيرَةِ Gather your group under this tent, I want to have a quick word with them. They gathered. فَقَامَ فِيهِمْ خَطِيبًا The Master صلى الله عليه وسلم addressed. You want to talk of psychology? You want to talk of diplomacy? You want to talk of counseling? Allahu Akbar, every word of the Nabi has everything. It's an insult for you to look for it elsewhere. أَلَمْ آتِكُمْ ضُلَّالًا فَهَدَاكُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَلَمْ آتِكُمْ ضُلَّالًا فَهَدَاكُمُ اللَّهُ وَكُنْتُمْ عَالَةً فَأَغْنَاكُمُ اللَّهُ وَكُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ That's no Ansar. Don't isolate this one incident and become judgmental on my approach to you because of this. Look at it in the broader context. Today the world is facing this problem here. Things are taken out of context. If you put any statement out of context, it's going to have the wrong effects. Contextualize it. Put it in its framework and then understand it. O my Ansar, was it not that when I came to you, you were astray? Allah guided you because of me. You were in need, Allah empowered you because of me. Your hearts were disunited, Allah united you because of me. أَوَجَدْتُمْ فِي نُفُوسِكُمْ مِنْ أَجْلِ لُعَاءَةٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا تَأَلَّفْتُ بِهَا قُلُوبَ النَّاسِ Are you frowning on my decision simply because I wanted to win the confidence of certain individuals and I had my eye and my wisdom in the move that I made? They said, apologies, O Nabi of Allah, al-mannu lillahi wa lirasoolihi. We apologize and we are grateful to Allah and His Prophet. Now the point that I want to share, the silence and they are crying amongst the Ansar. He said, Ala tujibun. It's time the microphone is on you, now you people speak. Who will represent your sentiment? They said, no. From our side, acknowledgement, guilt, and we confess our wrong. He said, no, you have a right to speak and you have a leg to stand on. And he paid tribute to them. He said, you can stand up and tell me. I gave you the narration. Ibn Ishaq, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri narrated. لَإِنْ شِئْتُمْ لَقُلْتُمْ It's in Hayatul Sahaba. لَإِنْ شِئْتُمْ لَقُلْتُمْ فَصَدَقْتُمْ وَصُدِّقْتُمْ جِئْتَنَا طَرِيدًا فَآوَيْنَاكُ جئتنا طريدا فآويناك وآئلا فآسيناك وخائفا فأمناك ومخذولا فنصرناك The Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paid tribute to the Sahaba. He said, you can stand up and tell me, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't forget, the Meccans banished you, it is us the Ansar who sheltered you. You were in need, we empowered you. خائفا أمناك You were afraid, we gave you peace and comfort. مخذولا You were forsaken and abandoned. نصرناك We supported you. They said, we will never dare say this. The Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am saying it on your behalf. I am paying tribute. These were who the Sahaba were. And that brings me to a very, very critical thing. ولعن آخر هذه الأمة أولها The narration of Tirmidhi, the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a time will come where people will revile and abuse and condemn my Sahaba. وَلَعَنَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ أَوَّلَهَا Let me sound a word of caution to you, my brother. These are the words of one of the great scholars I heard from. Don't ever involve yourself in three arguments. Don't ever involve yourself in three arguments. A, the differences, the quarrel, the bickering between your parents. You're a son. How dare you tell your mom, but that's wrong of you. How dare you tell your father, but that's insensitive of you. Why? You look this way, al-jannatu tahta aqdami al-ummahat, paradise beneath your mother. You look that way, al-walidu awsatu abwab al-jannah, fa-in shi'ta hafiz ala dhalika al-bab, wa-in shi'ta da'. The best way to paradise is kindness to your father. Either you preserve the door or forsake it. Can you imagine the sensitivity with which you have to tread? So don't involve yourself in the differences of parents. Ask Allah, implore Allah, beg Allah, and engage it on a more senior level if you need some arbitration and intervention. But you don't become the mouthpiece. The ulama have even written, and I don't have time, in the footnotes of Jalalain under Waqadha Rabbuka, I read this. What should a person do if his parents both are giving him a command and one contradicts the other? How does he show loyalty and obedience when the mom says A and the father says B at the very same time? We're going to digress, and it's a long write-up on this here. The point I'm saying, it's very, very intricate. Don't involve yourself in the arguments of your parents. B, don't tarnish your name. Don't involve yourself in the differences of scholars. The ulama, on their level, let them argue. They are not immune from weaknesses. They have their issues and their differences. Khalid radiallahu anhu had an altercation with Abdurrahman ibn Awf. The Prophet said, Khalid, Abdurrahman is a Badri. Respect his profile. He participated in Badr. Sometime later, another Sahabi had an argument with Abdurrahman ibn Awf. The narration is in Hayat al-Sahaba. So he said, O Nabi of Allah, you prohibited me from arguing, but so and so is also arguing. Nabi Sassam said, yeah, but they both are Badriyin. They have the right to argue. It doesn't give you the license. They both are Badriyin. Amongst themselves, let them have their differences. The second thing is, don't get yourself involved in the differences of ulama. And the third, oh boy, oh boy. How dare you make a comment on the Sahaba? Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu wa arda. Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu wa arda. Katibul wahli, one of the scribes of revelation. When will this ummah start naming their children Muawiyah? Fa'as as-sahabatu kulluhum adul. The sahaba are all adul. We honor and respect the jurists and the scholars of hadith. When they dissect the personalities, they start after the sahaba. And then you have the Asmaul Rijal, and going into this one, when it comes to Sahaba, As-Sahabatu kulluhum adul. When Hussein radiallahu anhu was assassinated, people said, let's get a comment from Rabi ibn Khutayn. He was a great giant. Wa kana qaleel al-kalam. He was a man of few words. People said, Al-an yatakallam. Today the man is going to give a tongue lashing. Today this man is going to go for it, because Hussein radiallahu anhu has been killed. It was a very sensitive thing. And mushajaratu sahaba, differences among the sahaba, is a reality. We will not shy away from it. We will not deny it, but we will need a delve in it. Why? Because the Quran said, وَكُلَّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى وَكُلَّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. Allah has declared virtue and entry into paradise for every sahabi. What's there for me to delve? عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْكَ. Allah has forgiven the Sahaba. وَلَقَدْ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. Allah has pardoned them all. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. Allah has conferred multiple accolades upon them. So we don't delve into it. So they came to Rabi ibn Khutaym and they said, what do you pronounce? What's your opinion? What's your take? Can we get a statement from you? Can we get a statement here regarding the assassination of Hussein radiallahu anhu? He taught us a great lesson. He said, an exclamation of pain. أَوَقَدْ فَعَلُوا. أَوَقَدْ فَعَلُوا. Have they literally done this yet? قُتِلَ مَنْ كَانَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُجْلِسُهُ فِي حِجْرِهِ وَيَضَعُ فَاهُ عَلَى فِيهِ. Today that man has been killed who the master used to put in his lap and occasionally used to put his saliva in his mouth. Then he looked to the heavens. He said, اللَّهُمَّ فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ عَالِمَ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ أَنْتَ تَحْكُمُ بَيْنَ عِبَادِكَ فِيمَا كَانُوا فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ. Allah, it's a very, very sensitive moment. It's a very, very critical juncture. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth, and ultimately the decision rests with you. You will decide on the day of Qiyamah. That's it, chapter closed, he said nothing more. And you and I want to pronounce opinions. Jamal, the battle of Siffin is a reality. The battle of Jamal is a reality. We don't deny it, but we don't delve into it. Someone came, the narration is in Bayhaqi on the strength of Abu al-Bukhtari. Someone came to Ali radiallahu anhu and he said, look at the Sahaba. He said, the people of Jamal, amushrikunahum, that was the opposite side of Ali radiallahu anhu, would you classify them as polytheists, your opponents, who were Sahaba? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, min ash-shirki farru. Shirk is what they left and came. How dare you say this? He said, أَمُنَافِقُونَهُمْ. Then would you conclude they are hypocrites? He said, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Munafiqeen don't ever remember Allah. They are perpetually engrossed in the remembrance of Allah. قِيلَ فَمَاهُمْ. Then what are they? He said, إِخْوَانُنَا بَغَوْ عَلَيْنَا. They are our blood brothers. They are Sahaba among us who differed with us. إِخْوَانُنَا بَغَوْ عَلَيْنَا. They are our brothers and we have differences and we hope Allah will forgive us all. The narration of Ibn Asakir. كان بين عبد الله بن عمر وبين المقداد شيء. عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه and مقداد بن أسود had an altercation. فنال منه عبد الله. عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه said something unpleasant and harsh to مقداد رضي الله عنه. So مقداد رضي الله عنه got upset. فشكاه المقداد إلى أبيه. So مقداد رضي الله عنه said, I'll take the case to عمر. That's it. As straight as that, I'll go to عمر رضي الله عنه. There was no aspect of nepotism in that time, favoritism to family members. So when he took the complaint and he lodged the complaint with Umar radiallahu anhu, his son Abdullah ibn Umar realized that his father is going to get serious. Umar radiallahu anhu said, دعوني فأقطعوا لسانه. He's speaking ill of a Sahabi of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, I will cut my son's tongue. فلما خاف ذلك من أبيه تحمل على أبيه بالرجال أي استشفع بهم إليه. He prepared few Sahaba and he said, please man, go persuade my father and you want to calm him down, man. Calm my father down. He wants to cut my tongue. He literally wants. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Da'uni fatakunu sunnatan ba'di. La yujadu rajulun shatama rajulan min ashabi al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam illa futiha lisanuhu. Leave me, I want this to become and I want to set a precedent here. That anybody, he is a Sahabi himself. Abdullah ibn Umar is a great Sahabi himself, I mentioned. He wasn't an ordinary person, he himself was a great Sahabi. Abdullah ibn Umar himself. He said, leave me. Let me cut his tongue so that this becomes a precedent. If anybody pronounces any unpleasant ruling or makes any nasty remarks against a Sahabi, then his tongue must be cut off. I'll try and wrap up just two, three incidents. Qais ibn Abi Hazim radiallahu anhu makes mention, Tibrani has recorded the hadith. He says, I was in Medina and I was walking in one marketplace. إذا أنا بلغت أحجار الزيت. I came to a place called أحجار الزيت. So I seen فرأيت قوما مجتمعين. People had gathered على فارسين on one horseman وهو يشتم عليا. And this man was reviling علي رضي الله عنه. He was reviling علي رضي الله عنه. The hadith of Tibrani, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه narrates it. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إذا ذكر القدر فأمسكوا. إذا ذكر القدر فأمسكوا. When people speak about predestination, abstain. It's too sensitive. The topic is too sensitive. Someone came to Ali radiallahu anhu and he said, أخبرنا عن القدر. Tell us about taqdeer. He said, هو طريق مظلم لا تسلكه. It's a dark road, don't walk on it. He said, أخبرنا عن القدر. I'm asking you, tell us about taqdeer. He said, هو بحر عميق لا تلجه. It's a deep ocean, don't dive, you'll drown. He said, أخبرنا عن القدر. Tell us about taqdeer. He said, سر الله قد خفي عليك. It's the secret of Allah. It will remain unknown, don't probe it. إذا ذكر القدر فأمسكوا. When people speak of تقدير, abstain. وإذا ذكرت النجوم فأمسكوا. When people speak about astrology, then abstain. When people want to determine their faith through stars. وإذا ذكر أصحابي فأمسكوا. And when people start giving tongue lashing to my Sahaba, walk away from that gathering. Walk away from that gathering. Anyway, Qais ibn Hazim says, we were walking in the marketplace, we came by this person, and he's just having a go at Ali radiallahu anhu, and, you know, using unpleasant language against Ali. Suddenly, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu came. He said, what's the shuffle all about? He said, رَجُلٌ يَشْتِمُ عَلِيًّا. This man's having an issue with Ali radiallahu anhu. فَتَقَدَّمْ. He advances. فَأَخْرَجُوا لَهُ. They paved the way. He comes in front of him. He said, عَلَامَ تَشْتِمُ عَلِيًّا. Brother, why are you doing this? Why are you having to go with Ali radiallahu anhu? أَلَمْ يَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَنْ أَسْلَمْ. Is he not the first amongst the youth to embrace the faith? Alam yakun awwala man salla, is he not among the first of people to pray with the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Alam yakun azhad al-nas, was he not among the most abstinent of people? Alam yakun a'lam al-nas, was he not among the most learned of people? Alam yakun sahiba rayati rasulillah, was he not the flag bearer of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Alam yakun khatana rasulillahi ala ibnatihi, was he not the favorite son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his beloved daughter? And he went on and he went on. Thumma istaqbala al-qibla. He said, okay, I don't want to argue with you. I spoke to you. You don't want to stop. He then turned to the qibla and lifted his hands. You can imagine the curse before I tell you what he said from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas coming out. Allahumma inna hada yashtimu waliyyan min awliya'ik. Fala tufarriq hada al-jam'a hatta turiyahum qudratak. Allah, this man blatantly, arrogantly, repeatedly is reviling one of your noble friends and the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, let not this gathering disperse until you don't show him a lesson that serves as a reminder for everyone. Qais ibn Hazim says, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا تَفَرَّقْنَا حَتَّى سَاخَتْ بِهِ دَبَّتُهُ. Before we could disperse, the earth split. We vividly witnessed it with the naked eye. And the animal's feet sunk into the ground. And فَانْفَلَقَ فَانْفَلَقَ دِمَاغُهُ. He was dropped off the back of the animal and we seen his brains came bursting out of his head. وَمَاتَ and he died instantly. Just for the benefit of the scholars, the academic write up on this hadith, Imam Hakim who narrates it as well, he says, صَحِيحٌ عَلَى شَرْتِ الشَّيْخَيْنِ. This hadith enjoys the equal of an authenticity. It satisfies the requirements of the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim. He said, we literally seen the man, the animal jolted, it flipped him off, his brains pierced out and he instantly died. These are the consequences of those who endeavor to speak ill of the Sahaba. Another narration, Abu Naim makes mention in Hilya. Rabah ibn al-Harith radiyallahu anhu is the narrator. He says, Mughira ibn Shu'ba was sitting in the biggest masjid of Kufa and around him were some people from Kufa. Just then a person by the name of Sa'id ibn Zayd, فَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ يُدْعَى سَعِيدُ ibn Zayd. He walked in. He greeted, فَحَيَّاهُ الْمُغِيرَ وَأَجْلَسَهُ عِنْدَ رِجْلَيْهِ عَلَى السَّرِيرِ. Mughira radiallahu anhu set him on the same platform. فَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ. Then a person came. فَاسْتَقْبَلَ الْمُغِيرَ. He faced Mughira and he just started swearing and abusing and reviling. So Sa'id ibn Zayd said, مَنْ يَسُبُّ هَذَا يَا مُغِيرَ. Oh, Mughira, what is this man doing and who is he abusing and reviling? He said, يَسُبُّ عَلِيًّا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. He is abusing the personality of Ali radiallahu anhu. He was enraged. He stood up. He said, Ya Mughira, أَلَا أَسْمَعُ أَصْحَابَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ يُسَبُّونَ لَا تُنْكِرْ وَلَا تُغَيِّرْ. Oh Mughira, in your presence, you are witnessing the noble companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being abused without a frown on your forehead or a crack in your voice or an advancement in your head. وَإِنِّي أَشْهَدُ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And I testify from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مِمَّا سَمِعَتْهُ أُذُنَايَ وَوَعَاهُ قَلْبِي. Which my ears have heard and my heart has preserved. فَإِنِّي لَمْ أَكُنْ أَرْوَى عَنْهُ كَذِبًا. I will never narrate a lie against him. يَسْأَلُنِي عَنْهُ إِذَا لَقِيتُهُ. He will question me the day I meet me. We were one day sitting with him. And then he said, أبو بكر في الجنة وعمر في الجنة وعثمان في الجنة وعلي في الجنة وطلحة في الجنة وزبير في الجنة وعبد الرحمن في الجنة وسعد بن مالك في الجنة وتاسع المؤمنين في الجنة ولو شئت أن أسميه لسميته. He mentioned 8 people will be in Jannah. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, a 9th person will also be in paradise. And if I want, I can even tell you the name of that 9th and I'll divulge it. فَرَجَّ أَهْلُ الْمَسْجِدِ يَا صَاحِبَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. They said, oh Nabi, oh companion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell us who was the 9th person who enjoyed the privilege of entry into Jannah. He said, with humility and modesty, I say, it was me. It was me, the Prophet ﷺ included me. And the Prophet of Allah was the 10th person. And then he turned around and he looked at us and he said, لَمَشْهَدٌ شَهِدَهُ رَجُلٌ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُغَبَّرُ فِيهِ وَجْهُهُ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ عَمَلِ أَحَدِكُمْ وَلَوْ عُمِّرَ عُمْرُ نُوحٍ. A moment that a man spent with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which his face became dusty, in which his face became dusty, is greater than the worship of your life, even if Allah had to spare you with the lifespan of Nuh alayhi salam. The last two hadith that I want to share, and this is again, what is the virtue of a man? They say, وَالْفَضْلُ مَا شَهِدَتْ بِهِ الْأَعْدَاءُ. enemy can hate you and say, but Mr. Muhammad is the most honest man. I differ with him in religion, but my hat off for him. In Hayatul Sahaba, the last chapter is dedicated, ماذا قالت الأعداء في غلبة الصحابة? The opinions of the enemies of Islam in the favor and the virtue of Sahaba. The author, Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullahi, concludes Hayatul Sahaba with this chapter, ماذا قالت الأعداء في غلبة الصحابة? Two, three brief incidents. Number one, the incident of Herakl, the Roman emperor. When one of his armies were defeated and he met with them, he said, أخبروني عن هؤلاء القوم, أليسوا بشرا مثلكم? I mean, you have been defeated. Tell me about these people. Are they humans or are they some other creatures? He said, no, they are humans. They are humans. هم أكثر أم أنتم أكثر? Are you more in number or they are more? He said, نحن أكثر في كل موت. We are always more than. We outnumber them. فما بالكم تنهزمون? Then it doesn't make sense. Why do you lose and they win? فقال رجل من عظمائهم. One of the prominent people stood up. He said, let me tell you, O Emperor, where their strength lies. من أجل أنهم يقومون الليل ويصومون النهار ويوفون بالعهد ويتناصفون بينهم ومن أجل أن نزني ونركب الحرام ونفسد في الأرض أنت صدقتني. He said, the reason is very clear. These people are monks by night, they fast by day, they mutually help one another, they are just amongst themselves. On the other hand, we are either busy with women or haram, because in mischief and corruption, they are strengthening themselves and we are weakening ourselves. The narration of Bidayah, Herakl said, you have spoken the truth. This is where the strength of these Muslims lie. Another narration, Ibn Jarir. He met one Roman soldier who escaped from the Muslims. He met him. He said, tell me about these people. He said, I will tell you one thing. I stayed amongst them. I'll tell you one thing. لا يأكلون من ذمتهم إلا بثمنه. They will never exploit authority. They will never dare eat anything from their subjects but by paying for it in full. They are never there to devour the rights of people. When he heard this, he said, لَإِن صَدَقْتَنِي لَيَرِثُنَّ مَا تَحْتَ قَدَمَيَّ. If this is their quality, then soon they will rule over the land over which I am governing. The third narration, Qubuqlar. Qubuqlar was the general of the army in the Battle of Yarmouk. Due to the fact that the enemies just could not infiltrate, he sent one of his people as a spy and he said, infiltrate their ranks and remain undetected. فَدَخَلَ عَرَبِيٌ لَا يُنْكَرْ. Undetected, he camouflaged and got in. أَقَامَ فِيهِمْ يَوْمًا وَلَيْلًا. He spent 24 hours. Once I was in Australia in Brisbane, and one of the local TVs wanted to interview a Muslim home, the average Muslim home during the month of Ramadan, and they obviously wanted to broadcast it. No Muslim home was prepared because we know the wrong image we give off. You don't want the world to understand this is Islam. It is flavored with culture. It is diluted with anger. It is tainted with other issues. Pure, pristine Islam. This is an average Muslim home, how they would conduct themselves in the month of Ramadan. This person camouflages himself and he gets in. أَقَامَ فِيهِمْ يَوْمًا وَلَيْلًا. One day, one night, he comes back. Qubuqlar says, مَا وَرَاءَكْ. What's your take? What can you say? He said, رُهْبَانٌ بِاللَّيْلِ فُرْسَانٌ بِالنَّهَارِ لَوْ صَرَطَ إِبْنُ مَلِكِهِمْ قَتَعُوا يَدَهُ وَلَوْ زَنَى إِبْنُ مَلِكِهِمْ رُجِمَ لِإِقَامَةِ الْحَقِّ فِيهِمْ. You know what the salient feature amongst these people? Nobody is above the law. There is one law that governs all. There isn't a set of law for the hierarchy, a set of law for the middle class, a set of law for the rulers. No. If their Nabi, or if their king, or their ruler's son has to steal, they will have to take and chop his hands. And if the most influential person of them commits zina, they will subject him to the penalty of all. He said, لَإِن كُنْتَ صَدَقْتَنِي لَبَطْنُ الْأَرْضِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ لِقَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ عَلَى ظَهْرِهَا. لَبَطْنُ الْأَرْضِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ لِقَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ عَلَى ظَهْرِهَا. If what you said is the truth, I will prefer being beneath the earth than they challenge these people on the back of the earth. The last narration in this regard. Yazdajard, who was the Persian emperor, when he needed reinforcement, he wrote to the king, one of the kings of that time. كَتَبَ إِلَى مَلِكٍ يَسْتَمِدُّهُ. We need reinforcement. So the king said, قَدْ عَرَفْتُ أَنَّ حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُلُوكِ إِنْ جَادَ الْمُلُوكِ. I understand it's common courtesy that one government helps another and, you know, whatever diplomatic ties and allies and the rest of it. وَلَكِنْ سِفْلِي سِفَتَ هَؤُلَاءَ الَّذِينَ أَخْرَجُوكُمْ مِنْ بِلَادِكُمْ. But first tell me, why are you losing? What's the matter? فإني أراك تذكر قلة منهم وكثرة منكم. I gather from what you say, your numbers surpass them by many, yet you are losing. And that can only happen for one of two reasons. إِلَّا بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِهِمْ وَشَرٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِكُمْ. There's nobility on their side and there's failure on your side. Two questions I want to ask you. He said, go for it, ask anything. أَيُوفُونَ بِالْعَهْدِ. Do they honor their word with Muslims and non-Muslims? He said, this is a nation, they will give their life for their words. They will never default. They will never default on whatever they agree. We don't have time to elaborate. Number two, كَيْفَ طَاعَتُهُمْ أُمَرَاءَهُمْ. كَيْفَ طَاعَتُهُمْ أُمَرَاءَهُمْ. Are they compliant and obedient to their rulers? He said, أَطْوَعُ قَوْمٍ لِمُرْشِدِهِمْ. You've never seen a more compliant nation than them. Then Yazdajar said, do me a favor, salimhum. Make peace with them. I can send my entire army and everybody will come out humiliated and defeated. So much has been said. Much has been said. The previous speakers before me, we need to now internalize this. One, two final advices. There was a Sahabi by the name of Ma'an ibn Adi. He had a very peculiar passion. Every Sahabi generally had the desire that he passes away before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he doesn't have to contend with the challenge of having known that the Master sallallahu passed away. Because obviously that's the most difficult thing. Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Abd Rabbihi, a very famous incident whose name appears in the Bab al-Adhan of many books of hadith. When the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he said, oh Allah, please make me blind on the spot. I read this in Tanzimul Ashtat, which is the Sharh of Mishkat, and I read it other places as well. Oh Allah, snatch my vision so that I can have the privilege that after your Nabi, I see nobody else. I seen your Nabi, I satisfied my gaze, and that's it. And I want to die like this. فَكُفَّ بَصَرُهُ. He was visually impaired and his sight was taken away. So this was the general atmosphere of Sahaba, but there was a Sahabi by the name of Ma'an ibn Hadid. He said, وَلَكِنْ مَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَمُوتَ قَبْلَهُ لِأُصَدِّقَهُ مَيِّتًا كَمَا صَدَّقْتُهُ حَيًّا. But Ma'an ibn Adi said, I don't want to die before the Prophet ﷺ. As challenging, as daunting, as difficult as it is to contend with life post the demise of Nabi alayhi salam, but yet there is another opportunity after his demise, I can promote and propagate his message. So just as I believed in him while he was alive, I equally want to exhibit his impeccable character after his demise. Allah has given us that aspiration and that opportunity to live up to the aspiration of Ma'an ibn Adi. He enjoyed the dual honor that he seen the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his prime, in his life, and likewise he lived thereon. Allah has given us. We need to dispel the myth in the world. We need to dispel the misconceptions in the world. Stand up with the lives of Sahaba. Make your life a home of Sahaba. How sad people would still phone you and ask you to name this. And then you say, keep Hudhaifa or Mas'ud. Oh, we have a Hudhaifa in the house already. So what? Did you ever, you know what? Oh, we have a rich person in the family, so it's okay, I don't have to stop working. No, that's his money. We're very independent in our finance, but we're very united in our names. What is that? If you only understood what was the virtue of these Sahaba, you would have named one after the other. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we name our children after Sahaba. We stand up with their lives. We present it to the world. They say, I'll leave you with two quotes in English. They say, the past is a mystery, the past is history, the future is a mystery, and the present is a gift. That's why they call it the present. Allah has given us this present. Stand up. Let it be a change from this event of ours. Let it not just be it was words and I came and others came and we had it and it's over. And as they say, aspire to inspire before you expire. Aspire to inspire before you expire. Allah bless us all with the correct understanding of Afrika.